Welcome to the Health Ranger Report with Mike Adams, the Health Ranger.
All right, I've reached a new conclusion, and I've got my answer, at least in my mind, I'll share with you about RFK Jr. and the question, is he with us or is he betraying us in the MAHA movement? And the short version is that I believe he is with us and he is not betraying us and that there is a process underway. Now, interestingly, I arrived at this conclusion after having a conversation with one of my contacts that's tied into Treasury. And this concerns the so-called CTA, the Corporate Transparency Act. Now, just bear with me here. It'll all tie together. But the CTA was just delayed by the Treasury in a series of announcements and a press release and a bunch of tweets. Now, for those of you who are not business owners, you may not even be aware of this, but it was a heinous law that was passed during the Biden administration. I think it was in 21, actually. I mean, this is years ago when this was passed, and the deadline for it to kick in was December 31st, just this last December. And it was supposed to require all small businesses and organizations and nonprofits to file with the FinCEN, which is like the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, and to hand over your ID and your home address and your social security number and your name and everything, even if you ran like a local chess club for your school or you're part of some school volunteer program. And I interviewed Mr. Schlafly about this with AAPS, and he and his organization are fighting this, and other organizations have been fighting this in a series of lawsuits. And so around December of last year, every accountant across America was urging every business in America, oh, you have to file. You have to file. If you don't file, the penalties are like they can throw you in jail for 2 years. They can fine you like $10,000 a day or some crazy amount. And I said, I'm not filing because it's unconstitutional. It's a violation of the Fourth Amendment. I am not filing. This is nonsense, right? They wanted to know everything about, you know, every business unit, you know, even my church and everything. I'm like, no, screw you. I'm not filing. And sure enough, it got suspended. There were like last minute court decisions, this and that. I'll make this brief. It has gone back and forth. There was a New Year's Eve decision by the Supreme Court to reinstate it. And then there was a deadline like in sometime in January, and it got pushed out to February, and then the more recent deadline was March 21st, and then finally, the Treasury announced they're not going to enforce it, okay? So it's essentially in the process of being killed. Well, how did the CTA die? It's also known as BOI, or Beneficial Ownership Information. So you may have heard of it as BOI or CTA. How did it die? Well, according to my source, it died because basically Trump and Doge inside the administration, they and Bessent of Treasury, they killed it. They killed it behind the scenes, and they didn't talk about it publicly at all. In fact, I was worried that Trump wasn't even really aware of this, and boy, was I wrong. He was very much aware of it, and they were in the process of strangling it to death, which they did. And so here's a great victory by the Trump administration that just came out of nowhere, and it didn't require the public to even hardly be aware of it. Again, most people who aren't business owners didn't even know about this, but it's a great victory that helps to reestablish privacy and freedom in America. And by the way, those of you who are business owners who filed because you were threatened by your accountant to file, you know, shame on you. You got tricked, okay? You got tricked. I didn't file. I told them to go pound sand, and I was right. Just like with the ATF a couple years ago when they said, oh, you have to file with your, you know, your short-barreled rifle because we're outlawing arm braces. I did not file. I did not send them photos of my just AR-15 pistols with arm brace. You know, I did not comply. That's the right answer. Do not comply with their nonsense, their unconstitutional power grab. I did not comply. I said, go pound sand. And sure enough, eventually the whole thing got overturned, and the people who complied and filed with their arm-braced AR-15s, you know, they looked like fools. Oh, you got tricked. They tricked you into confessing to a felony crime is what they did, you know? And now the ATF has a list of everybody who's got so-called short-barreled rifles because people turn themselves in. Think about it with vaccines, too, with the COVID vax. For the most part, I mean, everybody who got the COVID jab in America, they lined up and they said yes. They consented to it. Now, I know that the circumstances were made very, very difficult. Like, hey, you'll lose your job if you don't take the jab. Or you can't travel on an airplane if you don't take the jab. Whatever, you can't come into the nursing home and visit, you know, your grandmother or whatever if you don't take the jab. So they made it difficult, but nobody threw you on the ground and forcefully injected you against your will with a jab, right? They made you do it yourself. They tricked you into consenting to taking the jab. And it was the same thing with the CTA, and it was the same thing with the arm brace rule with the ATF. They'd like to trick you into giving up your rights. Now, this brings us back to the vaccine industry and RFK Jr. So right now, you know, the vaccine industry likes to trick you into thinking there's a measles outbreak and that measles is the most scary thing to have ever taken place on planet Earth. And that if we don't inject everybody immediately with measles vaccines, which don't even work, by the way, that then there's going to be a massive measles outbreak and we'll all die. But of course, measles kills almost no one. And even before there were measles vaccines, measles killed almost no one. And the whole history of infectious disease is a giant lie pushed by the vaccine industry, but that's another podcast. But here's what I learned in this conversation that I had with my contact with ties to Treasury, is that there are forces. Actually, I asked him this question about RFK Jr. And for background, remember that over the weekend, RFK Jr., his name appeared as the author on an op-ed in Fox News that was just pushing MMR vaccines like crazy. You know, it looked like just vaccine industry propaganda, right? And of course, all of MAHA erupted, and my phone was ringing off the hook. Everybody was texting me. I talked to Ty and Charlene Bollinger. Everybody was texting them. You know, everybody was blown up across, I mean, all the chat groups, all over Twitter, everybody. It was just like, what the hell happened to RFK Jr.? Has he betrayed us? And some people who have been, you know, pretty steady critics of RFK Jr. were gloating. Like, see, we're right. He betrayed you. It didn't take long. You know, that kind of thing. And I was asking the question publicly as well. Like, what is going on here? And I said in my podcast yesterday, I said, well, maybe he didn't write this. Maybe his staff wrote it and just put his name on it. Or maybe there's some other explanation here. But what I concluded today after talking with my contact with ties to Treasury is that there are forces behind the scenes at work to dismantle the system, the death system, I don't know, the enslavement system, the beast system, that's probably the best name. There are forces at work that we don't even know about, and they don't tell us what they're doing. And sometimes we have to just have some faith and some patience in the process, because the depth of evil inside Treasury, for example, the degree of evil inside Treasury is it's thick. It's thick with demons, you know? And I got to thinking, there is no agency that is more thick with demons than HHS. And that RFK Jr., you know, God bless him, he took on the most corrupt, the most infected agency in the United States government. And I believe it's the largest single agency other than the Department of Defense. I think it is. I think HHS is the second largest after the DOD. I may be wrong about that, but that's my guess. So RFK Jr. decided to take this on. Well, understand that HHS, which oversees FDA and CDC and NIH and NIAID and a bunch of other agencies, like 20 agencies, most of them you've never heard of, it's nothing but brainwashed pro-vaccine, pro-pharma, you know, puppets and shills. Like, and they believe this stuff. To them, vaccines are a religion. This is their religion. And most of those people, they don't believe in God. They don't believe in America. They don't believe in the Constitution. They believe in vaccines. Like, this is their ticket to salvation, you know, is how many children can we jab with these vaccines? And they tell themselves this is the right thing to do, or I don't know. I think some of them know it's bad, and they just revel in the evil of it. But there is no agency more infiltrated. There is no agency that will be harder to reform than HHS. And yet RFK Jr. took on that job. And based on what I learned in my conversations, I also spoke with other people in the health freedom movement and, you know, MAHA movement people, etc. And everybody had the same concern, by the way. Everybody was freaking out. Like, have we lost RFK? Is MAHA done? Will the movement implode? What's going on? I reached out to Dell and some other people, and I didn't hear back from Dell. I'm sure his day was very busy because I'm sure his phone was blown up in exactly the same way that my phone was blown up. Everybody losing their minds, right? But RFK Jr., in order to do anything inside HHS, do you have any idea of the decades of brainwashing and cultism, you know, vaccine cultism? It's even more than that. What would you call it? What do you call it? Like when you have radical Middle Eastern terrorists, like a religious fundamentalism, but it's more like it's a vaccine cult. So let's call it like vaccine fundamentalism. I don't know. Does that even make sense? But they're like religious zealots who are pushing jabs. And the resistance to someone like RFK Jr., who has been on the record saying, like, I would not give my kids MMR, you know, who has been on the record talking about autism and the links to vaccines and the dangers of some of the ingredients in vaccines and the lack of good surveillance data and so on. Think about what it's like to be RFK Jr. right now, like sitting in a meeting in D.C. somewhere in the HHS building, and you're sitting at the head of this boardroom table, let's say, and you've got like 16 top HHS staffers around the table with you, and every one of those people is a vaccine zealot fundamentalist. And yet, somehow you, as RFK, you have to begin a process of reform that must first involve implementing a much more detailed data surveillance system. Like, hey, let's gather more data about vaccine safety or vaccine side effects, you know, vaccine benefits. Are there? What are the benefits versus the risks? Let's actually start gathering real data now. Like, this has got to be step number one, I would imagine, for Secretary Kennedy. It's like, we got to start gathering data, because I know and you know and he knows, once you start gathering data, the signals are going to pop out of that data like, bloop, oh, whoa, what's going on? You know, autism over here, bloop, oh, you know, peanut allergies, like on and on, right? You start gathering data, you're going to get all kinds of signals. But you have to, I mean, he can't do everything himself, so he has to delegate to staff. And all those staff members are vaccine religious zealots, religious extremists, fundamentalists, whatever. I mean, I can't imagine taking on this job. I could not do it. I just admit it. I could not do that job. There's not a chance. The only thing I could do is go in there and fire everybody on day one. It's like, you're done, because I'm leaving. I can't even stand it in this building. Like, you're all fired. Bye. RFK, somehow he can be around all of this. He can be in it. He can be surrounded by it. And he can, within the system, I think the best that we can hope for, and we kind of have to recalibrate our expectations. I'll talk about that in a second. The best that we can hope for is small incremental progress. And let me speak about that for a second, because DOGE has moved with such incredible speed that it has kind of given us a false expectation that, oh, that's how everything can happen in government. Like, hey, overnight, boom, you know, like we expect to go to bed on Friday night, you know, and when we wake up Monday morning, boy, the FDA better be completely reformed. Like, it doesn't actually happen that way. What DOGE is doing, the incredible speed of finding out where all the waste is and, you know, looking at USAID money and shutting it down, etc. What Doge is doing and what Trump are doing are historically unprecedented. Government change never happens that quickly. That we have never seen that in our lifetimes, by the way. Not even in the Reagan years with Reagan, you know, tax cuts and everything. That took like 6 months of negotiating with Congress to finally pass something. Even Reagan was way slower than anything that we're seeing today. And as a result, we have become, I mean, all of us, myself included, we have become a little bit drunk with the expectation of instant gratification, instant change, you know? Like, hey, we need the reforms tomorrow, you know? Like, fire 100,000 HHS workers by Tuesday, you know? This kind of thing. And it's fun to imagine that sometimes. And it is awesome when they shut down USAID or when Trump, you know, fires hundreds of thousands of mostly wasteful federal employees. It's awesome. I mean, in my point of view, it's awesome. Maybe not that awesome for those who lost their jobs, but hey, maybe you should have shown up for work more than one day a month, you know, would have worked in your favor. Just saying. I mean, the rest of us out in the private sector, we're working our tails off day and night, holidays, weekends, vacations. I mean, I took one day off last year, and that was Christmas Day, okay? I do not get time off, and I certainly don't get paid time off, and I don't get government pensions and benefits. None of us do, so I do not feel sorry for the federal workers being laid off. That's just a separate topic. But that has created an expectation that RFK Jr. can also act with the same speed as what Trump and Doge and Elon Musk are doing. And it turns out that that is not a reasonable expectation when it comes to HHS. Just turns out that HHS is the most burrowed in, like a, what did Jesse Ventura say in the Predator movie? That they were dug in like an Alabama tick, I think he said, right? Of course, Ventura lost his mind, went full anti-Trump, but whatever. He was great in the movie. He said they're dug in, you know, deeper than an Alabama tick. And that's the FDA. And that's the CDC. They're like Alabama ticks carrying Lyme disease, you know. They got the bioweapons and everything. Oh, hey, by the way, as a side note, we are building a new laboratory building, and we're expanding our own lab, by the way. So we're building a new building, and I was talking to my team earlier today. We were mapping out everything, like where all the floor drains go and the electrical conduit lines and everything. And we talked about how we needed this one room to be really isolated from everything else that has to have, like, negative pressure. So it's almost like a biohazard clean room. The point of that room is to do all the microbiology tests. So that room is going to have all the equipment that does the E. coli, the salmonella testing, yeast and mold, total plate count, you know, all the stuff that we do in the micro area. And in our meeting today, I gave it the name of the Fauci room. So giving credit to Fauci, it's actually going to be called the Fauci room. And we're going to have Fauci freezers in that room where we keep the E. coli samples. And it's like, oh, here's where the bioweapons are. I don't really mean bioweapons. I mean, this is for food safety testing in case anybody from, you know, State Department is listening or whatever. We're not building bioweapons, okay? We're doing food safety testing. But we have equipment and we have, you know, auger, all kinds of media standards and everything, incubation equipment, all of it, because that's how you test for E. coli and salmonella. You know, you take the samples and then you incubate them and you do it, you know, quantitation checks and everything. Anyway, that's going to be in a room called the Fauci room. So we'll have a room in our lab named after Anthony Fauci because it's the most dangerous biohazard room in the lab. and by the way, also, if any feds are listening, we don't do CRISPR technology. We don't do genetic engineering. Okay, folks, we're running mass spec instruments. We are detecting heavy metals and glyphosate, pesticides, aflatoxins. You know, this is what we do. We test food and supplements and all kinds of things. We do more testing than any other private company in America, as far as I can tell. I mean, other than like Eurofins, that is just a lab testing business. I mean, I'm talking about a supplement and food manufacturer and retailer. We are the largest lab in the country that does that. And we have a Fauci room. All right. So anyway, look, bottom line here, I'm going to have to go off a gut feeling assessment plus conversations that I've had with colleagues in this space and what I learned about Treasury and some of the forces behind the scenes and just some hints that I've picked up here and there. And I don't have any inside information, but I believe that RFK Jr. is working for us. And I believe we have to allow for enough time and space for him to be able to achieve the most difficult government reforms possibly in the history of all government of the world. Like, I can't even think of any other agency in the history of the world that is this large and this corrupt and this filled with, you know, vaccine religious zealots, basically. So this is an epic task. And although I was very, I mean, I asked a lot of questions. I said I wasn't going to like totally throw RFK Jr. under the bus. I'm going to give this some time, but I was pretty critical, as a lot of people were, but I'm going to back off of that here today and say, I believe we should give him some time and some space, and we should recalibrate our expectations that this is not Doge. This is not USAID. That's just a ball of worms, as Elon described it. They can't just, although I wish, but I don't think they're just going to just shut down the entire FDA. I wish they did, but I doubt that's going to happen, which means that this agency is going to continue to, it's heavily populated by people who are contributing to the problem of over-vaccination, over-medication, you know, industry capture of the regulatory agency, the revolving door between the FDA and Big Pharma, et cetera. These problems are not going to be solved overnight. And sorry to say, and I'm saying this to myself too, I'm going to have to have patience while there's a whole lot of crap getting shoveled around HHS. And I'm going to have to sit back and tolerate it for a long while is my guess. And I don't know that I can do that all the way. I don't know. I'm going to try to act with as much discipline as I can here and just have faith in the process and have faith that there are the right people behind the scenes doing the right things, like what just happened with the Corporate Transparency Act and other things. I'm going to take a risk and extend some faith to RFK Jr. in this process and just pray to God to give him guidance and give him wisdom and give us patience. Because if our criticisms of him are misplaced, it only makes his job more difficult. And I would also ask you this question. Who could possibly be better for that job? Is there any other candidate who could go in there and do a better job? And I can't think of anybody. I mean, other than just people like me who would go in and just fire everybody, but that's probably not a practical thing. I can't think of anybody that could go in there and really achieve reform, like a systematic reform, who has knowledge of vaccines and knowledge of adjuvants and knowledge of metals and aluminum and mercury and what have you. I mean, that was Secretary Kennedy's specialty area of research, mercury pollution, mercury contamination, not just in the jabs, but from, you know, coal-fired power plants and in water supplies and things like that. So nobody knows this science and has the political clout to get things done better than Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Nobody is better suited for this. If you can think of somebody, let me know, but it's not a long list to even consider. There's just nobody better. So I ask you this question, a what-if question. If RFK Jr. were not there doing this, what would we do, you know, differently? I think that what you and I should do as grassroots activists who care about children, who care about halting autism, who care about ending human suffering, we care about the truth and about transparency, and we want to stop the vaccine damage of children. We want to stop it. We want to protect children. What should we do? And I believe that the answer is the same whether or not RFK Jr. is doing what we think he should do. And the answer is very simple. Continue to expose the truth. Continue to tell the true stories about vaccine damage. Continue to talk about the importance of preventative nutrition. It's not just vitamin A, it's all these other nutrients. It's boosting immune function. And it's feeding infants mother's milk, breast milk, instead of infant formulas, you know, and it's 100 other things like that. And these are things that we should be doing, in my view, no matter who is sitting at the head of HHS. So I say we can't read his mind, you know, Secretary Kennedy, we can't read his mind. We don't know what he's thinking, planning, dealing with. We don't know. And thus, we cannot control that. What can we control? We can control our own voice, our own activism. We can control our own social media posts. You know, I mean, I don't mean control as in to, you know, dismiss it. I mean, we can be advocates through social media. Like, we have power over the things that we can do. And I think that's where we should focus. So, you know, there's a whole prayer about this, of course, like, you know, God, give me the strength to change the things that I can. Anyway, this is a piece of wisdom, you know, to know the difference between those things that we can change and those things that we can't. What are the things that are in our sphere of control? And this is a lesson for me too, by the way. I have a lot to learn in this area. We've got to stop worrying about things outside of our sphere of control. We need to focus on the things within our sphere of control. What can we do today? Who can we talk to today? Who can we educate with the truth about vaccines? How can we keep the pressure on for reforms in FDA or CDC? How can we expose the lies of Fauci and the lies of COVID? Like, these are things we can do. These are things we can control. And we can't control Robert F. Kennedy Jr., nor should we. He's not our puppet. He's got his own mind, his own soul, his own plans, and whatever those plans are, I pray for him, but we control us. So let's focus on what we can do, which is, you know, sharing important information online, following each other's tweets and posts, and also, by the way, expanding your social media presence. I got to tell you, Twitter is censored. It's very heavily censored. Twitter just censored my interview with Steve Quayle. Somebody tried to upload it, got completely censored because we were talking about food shortages and famine. You need to get on to Brighteon.io, which is just a kind of a front end for Bastion.com. It's an uncensorable peer-to-peer social media network, Brighteon.io. Sign up for free. You don't even need an email address, and there's no KYC, nothing. It's completely anonymous, and you cannot be censored, okay? And it's peer-to-peer. There are no central servers. It's structured like Bitcoin. It's actually a blockchain-driven social media network. Very powerful. And by the way, their on-platform coin called Pcoin has like tripled in the last couple of months for whatever reason. It's a coin that's used to pay for advertising on the platform, like to boost posts and things like that. And they're rolling out some new thing, like a barter thing called Barteron that I got to look into, where people can, you know, buy and sell goods using that coin, whatever. It's a whole ecosystem, really interesting. They're busy over there at Bastion. But my point is, get on to more social media networks. Go to brighteon.social. You can follow me there at Health Ranger, or you can follow me on Telegram at Real Health Ranger. And don't trust that X or Twitter is uncensored, because it's not. It's not uncensored. It is quite aggressively censored to this day. I'm still shadow banned on X, by the way, and other people are as well. So, you know, branch out, get out into more platforms, and there's Gab, and there's Getter, and there's Truth Social, and there's all these platforms. Use them all. and post your videos on Brighteon.com and Rumble.com and BitChute and wherever, you know, just blast it out. Tell the truth and blast it out. Those are things that you can do. That's the realm that you control, and you can have an impact. And you know what? The only reason the RFK Jr. even made it this far is because of people like us, our movement, for the last two decades, doing what we do. And so, again, focus on what we can control and don't fret about what we can't control. What RFK Jr. is going to do is up to him. We just got to keep the pressure on every single day, no matter what, because we're up against the most heavily funded, murderous corporate regime that's ever existed in the history of the world, like an actual baby-killing vaccine regime. That's what we're up against. And what do we have? We have each other. We have the moms and dads. We have just passionate people. We don't have big budgets. We don't have big billionaire investors. We just have each other. So let's rely on each other to get this done and give RFK Jr. some time, like a lot of time, I think. a year to... I mean, we got to be realistic. It's a crazy, insane bureaucracy there. This is not going to happen overnight. So I don't know. You tell me what you think is reasonable, but it's not going to happen overnight. That's just the bottom line. Unfortunately, I wish it would. Who would be the best person to go in there and just kick ass like that? Who would be like if someone had absolute power, you know, and could just reform everything? Who would be the right person to send in there, huh? And I think the only answer is Thor, you know, with his hammer. Just start hammering away at the FDA. It's like, I am Thor, you know, from what realm is he from? Whatever magical realm, Norse god realm or whatever. I am Thor, going to use my hammer to strike down FDA bullshit, you know. Just unleashes the hammer. Like, okay, great. That's awesome. We can do a comic book on that. That's all fun. But in the real world, there is no Thor. And this is going to have to be done the hard way. Piece by piece. Yeah. Well, what did they say? How do you eat an elephant? Is that how the saying goes? How do you eat an elephant? Piece by piece. That's a weird saying. Is that the saying? Yeah, that is the saying. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. I'm like, number one, I don't eat elephants. And there's some bites I would not be in. I mean, no, thank you. No. And elephants are intelligent vegetarians. You know, they're kind. They're intelligent. They have social structures. They have memories, better memories than humans, by the way. I would not eat elephants. But anyway, it's a metaphor. You get the idea. Don't eat elephants. Unless it's the elephant in the room. If there's an elephant in the room, to switch metaphors, you could eat that elephant one bite at a time if there's an elephant in the room, but don't go out eating elephants. Yeah, especially since you don't know what kind of junk is in that trunk. All right, thanks for listening. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com. Take care. Now at healthrangerstore.com, we have the matcha superfood formula to make an instant matcha tea loaded with superfoods. Check out the ingredients. I've got it on my screen here. Here it is, matcha superfood latte. And if you go down to the ingredients here, you'll see something pretty amazing. Not only is it made with this delicious coconut milk powder and the matcha powder, all laboratory tested, as you can see, all certified organic here, but we put in some chlorella and spirulina powder. And it's sweetened with monk fruit extract powder, but it's got functional mushrooms in here, reishi, shiitake, and so on, cordyceps. So this has this incredible combination, including lion's mane. That's my favorite. This incredible combination of microalgae superfood as well as matcha, which has all of its own amazing benefits, plus the functional mushrooms. This is available right now, healthrangerstore.com. And show my desk. I want to give our audience a look. We've also got our amazing instant mashed potatoes, the cheesy, creamy, buttery mashed potatoes in the number 10 cans. And then if you want to beat the tariffs that may be coming on Manuka honey from Australia and goji berries from the Tibet regions of China, the high elevation, clean regions, you need to get them now. We've got the goji berries, laboratory tested, of course. We've got the Manuka honey, which is certified with the high bioactives in the honey. There's a lot of counterfeit Manuka honey out there. This is the real deal, certified in several different ways and laboratory tested. You can find all that at healthrangerstore.com. And then I want to show you one other thing that's really useful this time of year. We've got this. A lot of people don't even know about it. It's called the Organic Daily Immune Complex Blend. 2 ounces, super potent blend. Let me show you some of the ingredients that you will find in this because it'll blow your mind. It's a spagyric maitake mushroom extract with shiitake and echinacea root extract together. And it's part ethanol and it's part water. So, you know, it's that combination that does a better extraction from the functional mushrooms here. So functional mushrooms plus echinacea in a laboratory tested certified organic format. Again, the Organic Daily Immune Complex Blend, 2 fluid ounces, available now, healthrangerstore.com. We've got hundreds of products for your health, for your kitchen, for your home, for preparedness, and so much more. Check it all out at healthrangerstore.com and know that every purchase there helps support our platform and our work to give back to humanity for freedom, health, and happiness. And thank you for your support. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Take care.